You know that feeling, right? When you're trying to get a handle on something new, you open your browser and suddenly there are like 30 tabs staring back at you.
Oh, yeah. Information overload. It's
Or
everywhere.
your to-read pile just
Yeah.
keeps growing. We've all felt that, just drowning in information. It's a challenge in pretty much every field you can think of.
There really is. I mean, the amount of data being created, digitized, made searchable, it's just staggering these days. It changes how we deal with knowledge, even in fields we think of as, well, traditional.
And that's exactly what we're diving into today. We're looking at how historians specifically are tackling this world of abundance.
Right.
They're doing it by bringing artificial intelligence, especially these large language models or LLMs, right into their research.
Yeah, strategically integrating them.
So our mission for you today is to unpack how AI can be this incredibly powerful assistant for historians, not taking over, but amplifying what they do.
And for this deep dive, we're leaning heavily on the work of Christian Henriot. He's at Aix-Marseille University. He's really doing cutting-edge stuff at this intersection of history and AI. His paper, The AI-Augmented Research Process, A Historian's Perspective, it's our main guide here. Really insightful.
Okay, so let's unpack the problem Henriot sees. He starts by saying, the way scientists often model their work, it doesn't always fit the humanities or social sciences.
Right. Our research process is often more complex, iterative. Sometimes it feels a bit messy, honestly, not linear.
And then there's this world of abundance you mentioned. All the digitization, newspapers, archives, periodicals becoming full-text searchable.
And that's just the older stuff. Think about everything generated since, say, the early 2000s, social media websites, government records online. It's just a colossal amount of digital material.
So way beyond what any human could possibly read using traditional methods, right? Close reading just doesn't scale.
Exactly, no chance. It really means the next generation of historians, they need a completely new toolkit. New skills are becoming essential just to navigate it all.
It's mind-boggling. Millions, maybe billions of pages, a real tidal wave of data. And I think for a lot of people, you hear AI and you immediately think, okay, ChatGPT,
Right.
like a chatbot.
Yeah, that's the common image.
But Henrietta's paper really pushes back on that, doesn't it? Wants to
Ooh.
demystify AI, show its actual
It
history.
absolutely does, puts it in a much bigger context. AI isn't some brand new thing that just appeared. He traces the core ideas back centuries.
Centuries, but
Yeah,
yes.
like logical frameworks back in the 17th century with Descartes, even the 19th century, the Jacquard loom, Ada Lovelace's algorithm, these were foundational steps.
Wow.
And the term AI itself, the formal field, that dates back to the Dartmouth Summer Research Project in 1956.
That's genuinely surprising. I bet most people, like me, think of AI as, maybe the last decade or two.
Right.
So how does knowing this longer history change things for historians looking at AI now? Does it make it seem less scary, more like just another tool evolution?
That's a great point. I think it definitely helps ground the conversation. Understanding AI as this long evolving set of computational methods, not some magic box, it shifts the question. It
Okay.
stops being this existential, will AI replace historians? And becomes a much more practical, empowering question. Okay, what can we actually do with
From
AI?
fear to function, basically.
Exactly, from apprehension to strategic opportunity.
And that reframing, that seems to be the absolute core of Henriot's approach. He
Yeah.
keeps hammering this point. AI tools are assistants, not
Assistance.
replacements. Your domain knowledge, your interpretation, the human element that's still central. You need human oversight, critical judgment, every step of the way.
Absolutely essential. And this vision, AI as partner, is where Henriot really drills down. He outlines five core functions AI can perform in historical research. Think of them like a new set of power tools for the historian's workshop.
Okay, let's walk through these five. First up is discover. What does that mean here?
So, discover isn't AI finding the answer. It's about helping the historian spot patterns or maybe gaps or themes that haven't been explored much within huge amounts of text.
Okay, we get an example.
So, imagine using topic modeling on, say, 500 academic articles. The AI might show that philanthropy comes up a lot, but it's rarely the main focus of study.
Ah, so it flags a potential research gap. Interesting. What's next?
Next is analyze. This is more about extracting structured data from unstructured text, comparing documents, clustering similar ones together.
So maybe taking 100 old newspaper articles.
Exactly, like from the Shenbao. An LLM could analyze them and maybe reveal that the name Zubasan often appears near words like hospitals and public subscriptions.
prompting the historian to investigate that specific link further. Got it. Number three.
Three is support writing. This one's probably the most familiar. Using AI to help generate drafts, revise prose, clarify sentences, even help structure an argument.
Like a superpowered writing assistant?
Pretty much. Tireless, too.
Okay. Four.
Number four is visualize. This is about turning data, maybe timelines, networks, statistical results, into charts, maps, diagrams that you can actually understand visually.
Right, because sometimes seeing the pattern is easier than reading about it in dense text.
Absolutely. It makes invisible connections visible, turns abstract data into something concrete you can grapple with.
And the last one, number five, sounds crucial for global history.
Yes. Translate and contextualize. This is huge. Rendering foreign language sources into usable summaries, maybe helping interpret culturally specific terms that don't have easy equivalents.
Okay, so like Henriot's example, translating Chinese abstracts and comparing arguments across different academic traditions.
Precisely. Or explaining the subtle differences between, say, French civilization and Chinese Wenming during the Republican era. That kind of nuance is incredibly hard, and AI can provide a starting point, a draft explanation.
So across all five functions, the theme seems to be AI doing the heavy lifting, the processing grunt work.
Exactly. The tedious stuff, the massive scale stuff, pattern spotting at scale, organizing information, it frees up the historian's brain power.
For the actual thinking part, interpretation, judgment, nuance.
That's the core idea.
And Henriot doesn't just leave it as a list of functions. He lays out a whole structured workflow, right? Nine steps.
Yes, a nine-step process for integrating AI through the entire research journey. From the very first research question all the way to publishing and making your work reproducible.
Including steps for setup and documentation, too.
Right. Those frame the whole process. It's very methodical.
So this brings up a question for you listening. How do you see these parts fitting together? You've got the LLMs, you've got the human mind, Henriot calls it mine, and then traditional computing tools like Python or R. How do they interact in practice?
Well, Henriot gives us a great example with his A Tale of Three Merchants case study. It shows this interaction really clearly.
Okay. So this is a concrete research project.
Yes. Looking at three major Shanghai businessmen, Zibasan, Yu Kuiking, and Wang Zhaolai over a long period, 1848 to 1949.
And this study used what he calls the triadic model.
Exactly. LLM, mind, and computational methods working together. But critically, the historian, the mind, is always in the driver's seat, orchestrating, evaluating, making the final calls.
And didn't the paper give some kind of breakdown of who did what, like percentages?
It did, roughly. And it's fascinating. LLMs and the human mind ended up doing a very similar amount of the work, around 44.8% each.
Wow. Almost equal partners.
Almost. With the conventional computational methods handling about 26.9%, note that adds up to more than 100% because tasks often involve multiple components.
It's not AI taking over. It's genuinely augmenting the historian's capacity.
That's the takeaway. Augmented intelligence. And the case study really shines a light on four key aspects of making this hybrid workflow successful.
Okay, what are those?
First is methodological triangulation, basically using multiple methods to check your results. So maybe you generate topics computationally. Mm. Then you have both an LLM and the historian interpret those topics. It builds confidence in the findings, multiple angles of verification.
Makes sense. Second?
Second, purposeful AI integration. You don't just throw AI at everything. You use LLMs strategically for tasks they're actually good at.
Like pulling out names and places or helping with writing mechanics.
Exactly. Or even quality control, like checking if your references are formatted correctly. Tasks that are valuable, but maybe tedious for humans.
Got it. Third.
Third is computational rigor. So using the right specialized tools are for stats, Python for data wrangling, maybe CytEscape for network graphs, but always with careful checks and balances. Maintaining scholarly standards is non-negotiable.
Right. The tools change. But the rigor has to stay. And the fourth dimension.
Fourth, and maybe most important, is balanced human-AI collaboration. Human judgment is crucial at every key decision point.
Like deciding what to ask the AI, crafting the prompts carefully.
Yes, and selecting the sources, deciding which AI outputs are plausible, which need more checking, which are just wrong.
So AI suggestions are treated like hypotheses, not facts.
Precisely. They need verification by the expert. The historian always holds the interpretive reins.
Okay, so let's see this in action. The paper gives specific examples from the Three Merchants study, right?
It does, across different research steps. It makes it much more concrete.
So, step one, formulating questions. How did AI help there?
The historian actually used GPT-4 early on. They fed it a rough research idea and asked it to rephrase it in more comparative analytical ways.
So, turning a vague idea into sharper questions. Like the example, how did elite philanthropy function as a tool of civic governance in Treaty-Port Shanghai?
Exactly, that kind of refinement. Then the historian could take those AI-suggested questions and see how they fit with the existing scholarship. It jump-started the process.
Interesting. Okay. Step two, surveying literature.
Right. So after using computational methods for topic modeling on over 300 Chinese articles, they used ChatGPT to suggest labels for those topics.
And compared those labels to ones the historian came up with.
Yes. And the key thing wasn't about who was right. The disagreements between the AI labels and human labels were actually the most useful part.
How so?
Because those disagreements pointed to areas needing closer human attention, ambiguities, nuances the AI missed. It guided the manual inspection.
Clever. Okay, yeah. Step three, defining scope.
Here, the historian had drafted a conceptual outline. They prompted GPT-4 to critique it, basically asking, what's missing? Are there gaps here?
And the AI found something.
It did. It flagged that the outline didn't sufficiently address transnational connections for these merchants.
Wow.
Which led the historian to realize they needed to incorporate English language sources more systematically. A really valuable self-correction prompted by the AI.
That's impressive. What about step four, locating and collecting sources?
They used Claude 4, another LLM, to summarize chapters from biographical PDFs. But it wasn't just summarizing. Mm-hmm. The AI actually spotted inconsistencies in things like place names or affiliations mentioned across different chapters, stuff a human might easily miss skimming.
So it helped with data quality control, too.
In a way, yes. It flagged things needing manual double-checking.
Okay, moving on. Step five, analyzing data. This seems like a core area.
Definitely. Here, GPT-4 was used to assign labels to topics emerging from Shenbao newspaper articles related to each merchant.
Okay.
And then it generated a kind of synthetic narrative, a story about how the themes related to each merchant seemed to evolve over time.
Was that narrative taken as the final interpretation?
No, absolutely not. It was used as a counterpoint. A different perspective for the historian to consider alongside their own interpretation, like having an analytical sparring partner to bounce ideas off of.
I like that analogy. Sparring partner. Okay, step six, building argument.
After the historian drafted an initial argument about something called adaptive governance, they used GPT-4 again, this time to challenge the logic, asking it, does this flow? Are there weak points?
Like playing devil's advocate.
Exactly. And the AI's feedback helped identify a specific gap, the link between the merchants' social network positions and their actual institutional power wasn't fully established.
Prompting the historian to strengthen that part of the argument.
Yes. It shows AI contributing to the intellectual development, not just processing.
And finally, step seven, writing and revising.
This is where they created a dedicated GPT-4 editor agent.
An editor agent?
Yeah. Once a full draft existed, this agent was tasked with running consistency checks. Things like citation formatting, making sure topic sentences matched paragraph content, checking figure labels.
So handling the detailed, often tedious proofreading and formatting checks.
Exactly. Deep editorial support that saves immense amounts of time and catches errors.
Okay, this whole workflow, using AI so deeply, it must bring up questions about doing it responsibly, right? Ethical considerations.
Absolutely crucial. Henriot dedicates significant attention to this.
So what's the first big point there?
Quality control. Non-negotiable. Rigorous checking of everything the AI produces. Cross-referencing. Validating. The historian is always the final arbiter of truth and interpretation. You can't just trust the output blindly.
You're responsible for what you publish, regardless of the tools.
100%. Then there's transparency.
Meaning you have to say you used AI.
Yes. Clearly acknowledge the tools. Cite the specific model and version, maybe in footnotes or the preface. Something like, assisted by GPT-4 version details, OpenAI, all outputs reviewed and verified by the author.
So others know how the research was done, and it supports reproducibility.
Precisely. It normalizes AI as part of the research infrastructure, but in acknowledged part.
And what about the downsides, the known issues with these models?
That's the third point, limitations. Henriot is very clear about this. LLMs can hallucinate, make things up.
Right, invent facts, references.
Fake citations, inaccurate summaries. So extreme caution is needed. You have to be critically aware. Never rely on AI for, say, summarizing secondary literature unless you verify every single claim against the original source yourself.
So Use it as an aid, a tool, but never as a shortcut that skips the actual scholarly work.
That's the fundamental message. It's a powerful aid, not a replacement for rigor, not an infallible oracle. It requires intelligent integration, conscious adaptation of how we work.
So if we zoom out, what's the big takeaway here for you, the listener, and maybe for the future of knowledge work in general?
Well, the central message seems really clear. AI isn't about replacing historians or experts in many fields, for that matter.
It's about empowering them.
Exactly. Augmenting their ability to handle this massive amount of information that's now available, to process it, verify it, and ultimately interpret it.
But it requires us to adapt, right? To integrate these tools thoughtfully.
Yes, a conscious effort is needed. We need to learn how to use them effectively and responsibly.
Which leads to a pretty profound thought, doesn't it? If historians can now analyze archives on a scale previously unimaginable, millions of documents, not just thousands.
Yeah. How might that reshape our basic understanding of the past? What completely new questions can we finally start asking?
For questions that were just technically impossible before because the sheer volume of sources was too overwhelming.
It's a really exciting, if challenging, prospect for the field.
It really is. It makes you think about how this applies beyond history, too. A really thought-provoking shift. If you want to dig deeper into all this, we strongly recommend checking out Christian Henriel's paper. It's called The AI Augmented Research Process, A Historian's Perspective.
Yeah, it really lays out the practical steps and the thinking behind it in great detail. Definitely worth a read.